Welcome to The Recap, the part of Pastoring Out Loud where we recap the previous week's sermon. This past week was Revelation chapter 144,000, also known as Revelation 7, which I asked for or you gave to me?
You asked for.
Did I ask for it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's like Israel asking for a king.
Is that what that was?
God was like, fine, have a king.
Well, here I am, just a little Saul. Saul of, not of Tarsus.
Little Saul.
I'm a little Saul. Instead of being
here
head and shoulders
little
above,
Saul.
Instead of being a head and shoulders above the rest of Israel, I'm a head and shoulders below the rest of Israel.
We kind of got the opposite. Where's the description of Saul? Now I have to find it.
Yeah, you do that. Anyways, it was 144,000 and the multitude. It should have been two. Do you think it should have been two sermons, Dave? Like
I think every chapter should be 43 sermons.
Oh,
there's a lot of.
He's currently thinking through Romans 8. Revelation 8.
I wish it was Romans 8.
I wish it was Romans 8. That would clearly be like five sermons.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Anyways, I preached, talked about the numbered and the numberless. I came back from a road trip and hit delete on like half the sermon and then rewrote it at like 11 p.m. And
you hit delete on purpose?
Yes,
oh,
I did.
Okay.
Because this wasn't coming together like I thought it would. So I put it together. I preached, talked about the number, the 144,000, talked about three views on who they could be. That are they literal Jews, symbolic Jews, or symbolic of the entire church, both Jew and Gentile? I said views two and three were possible. I lean towards view three as probable, and then view one is unlikely, though Christians disagree. That's good. Then we talked about the numberless, which I said is with the, I heard the number of them sealed, and then I saw a great multitude. Mm-hmm. That's an interpretive decision that we should see as this numbered, perfect number, 12 times 1,000, yeah. Is revealed in heaven as a great multitude. So, and I said the point of both texts is whether this is meant to be a future example for us or a present kind of embodiment of us, just picture of who we are as a church. The point is the same. All they can do is kill us because we're sealed and saved by the Lamb. That's my recap. You guys have any questions?
Yeah, man. So you made the point, and I actually agree with you, but someone asked me this after the sermon. So I agree. You talked about, I heard, right? So you hear this 144,000, and then I saw a great multitude that no one could number from all tribes and peoples and languages.
Yep.
And so commentators that take the view that you said you lean towards say, heard and saw is this formula in Revelation. Therefore, we should equate this symbolic 144,000 and all the 12 kind of numbers that represent holistic things, 12 by 12, as representing the whole church so that the first half is talking about an aspect of that, and the second half is talking about the same people and a different aspect of it. So someone said to me, I get that. That makes some sense to me. What would it be if they weren't the same thing? So like if it was a shift from 144,000 literal Jews or figurative Jews to now every tribe, tongue, and nation, why the differences and why the different visions and what's going on with that? What would a commentator say about that?
Yeah, I mean, the different tack would be, you know, again, kind of along the three lines of what I said. If you're trying to distinguish, say specifically, mm-hmm. what is the great multitude in comparison to the 144,000 on earth, the other two views that I mentioned, and certainly there's a wide spectrum of possibilities out there among all the various people that have ever read the Bible, interpreted it, and talked out loud or written about it. But those other views would typically say that the multitude is the perfected number of saints in heaven, especially a more vanilla premillennial view, like a symbolic number of Jews. If you're a dispensationalist, you're going to say this, the marker of their coming out of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation for a dispensationalist is the final 7 year period.
Yep.
And the 144,000 is the evangelistic force on earth to ensure that a great multitude happens.
Got it.
So there are still conversions happening during the 7 year great tribulation, and the Jewish ones that are sealed are the ones that are doing, are conducting that witness and leading to those conversions.
Is it another, is another view that the 144,000 are the symbolic for the church, but it's the church, Jew and Gentile, during the great tribulation, whereas then the numberless multitude afterward is the church at all times and all places?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a so if I'm understanding you correctly, no.
That's
because
not a view.
Because the 144,000, right, the descriptor of great tribulation is attached to the great multitude.
Right.
And the 144,000 don't have that descriptor, although there's some similar language when you turn the 144,000 in chapter 14. So I think the, commentators will be divided a number of different ways. Stacy is going to come in and join us now.
Mm-hmm. Ah, she's walking into the
room.
It's
fine. Just have a seat, Stacy. It's no big deal. You don't need to close the door. Hardly anybody's in the office. So anyways, as I understood you right there, no, the 144,000 aren't the ones in the kind of the great tribulation. Although, am I misunderstanding? So it, again, no, a dispensationalist would say,
right? Yeah.
Like the 144,000 are operating during the great tribulation. And those in heaven, the great multitude, are coming out of the great tribulation as they're getting martyred by the beast. And they're now in heaven safe, while the 144,000 are protected from the beast. That's a dispensationalist reading of it. Yeah. I disagree pretty heartily, but love people who...
Talk to us about the point you made, because I know for you it's kind of one of the definitive points here in how you interpret it, about this interpretive word for virgins.
Virgins. Yeah. Well, that's not from this text. It's from Revelation 14:4.
Right.
In the description of the 144,000. Sexual immorality, virginity, pictures like that in Revelation are meant to be symbolic of true idolatrous worship and true worship. Because of Roman customs and practices, you know, you could probably say that there is some overlapping between like actual sexual immorality and idolatrous worship.
Correct.
But I don't think the virginity of 144,000 men is meant to be a picture of like, oh, here's a bunch of celibate men that are, you know, rocking it out while they wait for Jesus to return, and they're going to be the faithful witnesses, and they've got something special because they're virgins. No, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that they're pure and set aside by God for the purpose of what he's doing. And the other reason I just said
that. So symbolically faithful to God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and just the description, they're being pulled from mankind. They've been redeemed from the earth, which is labeled upon, you know, there's some chapter 5 language, mm-hmm. you know, the redeemed, mm-hmm. you know, he's ransomed from the earth. There's just a lot of reasons, I think, to say that the 144,000 are not meant to be taken as exclusively, literally, ethnic Jews.
That's great.
And that doesn't have anything. So the point I made, like that chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, verse 9, you know, John can say, and it's Jesus saying it to John, there are people who say they are Jews but are not. They lie. And now here's 144,000 from every tribe of Israel. But it's not every tribe of Israel, because there's tribes omitted and kind of tribes inserted. Is not a call on God's like dismissal of Jewish people.
Right.
Because Romans 9 through 11 exists. It's just that, and I didn't say this, you know, in my madcap kind of blowing through the sermon, which it probably didn't feel like that to you, Stacy, Nick, and Dave, but you know, I felt completely out of sorts while I was preaching. And I forgot to say that in line with the rest of Scripture, like Romans 4, are the heirs of the promises only those according to the flesh? No. Also those who have the same faith as Abraham. Or Ephesians 2, you who were once far off and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, skip a few verses, have been brought near. Near to what? Doesn't make sense unless it's near to the commonwealth of Israel. You've been brought into Israel in some sense.
Or Galatians 3.
Yep, or Galatians 3. Yep.
Yep. being heirs of the promises of Abraham.
Yep, exactly right. So this is not a replacement theology. This is maturation theology. It was always God's intent that the Gentiles would, alongside faith-filled Jews, inherit the promises.
By grace through faith in Christ.
Amen.
Yep.
That's right.
I think that's all helpful. My last question, why the number 144,000?
You know, I didn't mention this. 12 times 12
yep.
times 1,000. The two 12s I did mention is mm-hmm. when you see those two together,
yep.
you often see, you know, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles
yep.
in literature. The broader apocalyptic landscape often uses 12 as symbolic for all the tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Broader apocalyptic, like the other apocalyptic literature that we have available to us outside the scriptures. And then the 1,000 is just symbolic for a great number. One commentator said this is like saying a bajillion. Like, so when we see 1,000 thousands, it's a bajillion, right. bajillion, or 10,000 right. times 10,000, you know, the
right.
number of mounted troops in chapter 9. We're supposed to say, like, this is innumerable. This is a ton, which, again, if you're listening and you're like, well, what does he think about the millennium? Well, you probably know what I think about the millennium just based upon that comment, but no surprise. We'll get there eventually. Am I preaching that one too, Dave? Maybe not after this week and all the...
Probably.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll get sick that week.
And even, and we already have the category too for those who, you know, say they're Jews and they're not from chapter 3. You know what I mean? It's so I think that as we get here, what's helpful is just to remember that the author has already given us these categories to think through.
Right.
Like, what's a true faithful follower of Jesus and what's, you know, and it's not based on ethnicity. So I think that's helpful. I just wanted to ask you again so that if people kind of missed it in the whirlwind of a sermon, they could hear it parsed out question by question here. Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah. Any other stuff you would ask me, things you'd point out?
I mean, I know you were Russian at the end.
No, I'm Polish.
Okay. Rushing. I just would love to hear more of the application of him sheltering us as a shepherd. You know, just what yeah. would you, what else would you have wanted to say?
I mean, so much.
Yeah.
I mean, Johannine literature is shot through with Jesus as shepherd on the back end of him saying, Pharisees, you say you have Abraham for your father, but you actually have Satan for your father. Just a few verses later that Jesus says he's the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And his sheep hear his voice, you know, and together with that, you know, let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there's so much that's interconnected that if I had time to, I mean, I'm not even sure I call it an order salutis, an order of salvation, but maybe a order Akunis, not Akunis Matata, Akuo, you know, Akua, the word for hear. An order of hearing would be that God, one, God gives us ears to hear. Two, we hear. Three, we do. Four, we keep hearing. Five, we keep doing. Mm-hmm. But that begins with God gives us ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say to anybody hearing the sermon or hearing the word of God that if you're hearing it and it's convicting you of sin and changing you, man, be so encouraged. The Spirit of the living God dwells within you. And you can be confident on the day of judgment, not because of the change exclusively, but because of the faith that enables that to happen.
Hmm.
And so salvation is by, like Nick said, grace alone through faith alone.
I thought of one more question.
Hit me.
Verse 14, I thought about it. I wondered if you're going to say something about it on Sunday, but you were kind of, like you said, you had a lot to say.
So much.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. So John in chapter 1 says he's fellowshipping, he's a partner with them in the tribulation.
Yeah.
What should we make out of seeing the word great?
Yeah, I did address this on Sunday, very briefly.
See, that's why I asked.
It's about two sentences worth. You know, that the tribulation and the great tribulation, that the key thing is the article the. And I don't think, and I think that I referenced Daniel 12:1 very briefly.
Oh, that's right, you did.
That I think if you're reading the timeline in Daniel 7 through 12 really carefully, that the the moment of a great tribulation is actually instantiated. It's the point in history in which it lies is between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, the anointed one who's cut off in Daniel's language. So I think that we're not supposed to see the great tribulation as some 7-year period cut off from the remainder of Daniel's 70 weeks or 69 weeks, but as the time period between Messiah's being cutting off and the very end.
Mm-hmm. Stacey, I just want to hear your voice on the podcast.
I'm That's here, nice. Present.
Stacey, do you have anything you want to say about
this? Do you want to sing?
Anything negative you want to say? No.
Negative? I thought it was a good sermon. Okay. I just walked in unprepared, I have nothing fine. With me to even look at.
That's okay.
But I mean, somebody already asked about the end. It reminded me of Psalm 23. You mentioned Psalm 23.
Yeah, I did mention it. Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that's the background text is he's that kind of shepherd.
Yeah.
Truly. And Psalm 23 is earthly language. You know, Revelation 7 is heavenly language. Mm. So Revelation 7 can't be the end. There's got to be more for mm-hmm. those that have left and been with Christ. So what were you going to say? Mm-hmm. Anything else? Shaking her head, no.
No, I'm good.
That's the 20-minute episode, everybody. Thanks for recapping all this with me. And we're on to Revelation 8, which will come in 20 sermons over the next 5 months.
I think we'll get through it in 17 to 33 sermons.
All right. Yep. There's probably something symbolic there in those numbers. Thanks for joining me.
Let the reader understand.